This is the Think Entrepreneurship Podcast, episode number 26.
Podcasting from Bozeman, Montana, an outdoor mecca nestled in the Rocky Mountains. This is the Think Entrepreneurship Podcast, a weekly show that interviews entrepreneurs and shares their stories to help motivate and inspire us along our entrepreneurial journeys. And now, your host and avid outdoorsman, e-commerce store entrepreneur, and promoter of entrepreneurship, Pete Sven.
Hey there, welcome to another episode of the Think Entrepreneurship Podcast. I am your host, Pete Sven, and I'm so glad you're listening today because I have a great guest. His name is Andrew Udarian, and he is an expert in the world of e-commerce. He's going to talk all about what it takes to get an online store up and off the ground, as well as some of the different business models like drop shipping, and just an overall perspective of the e-commerce industry and what he's learned over the years. So he has a platform that he uses and is running a successful business off of right now, which is called ecommercefuel.com. And then he also owns two e-commerce stores. One is named trollingmotors.net, and the other is rightchannelradios.com. Now, we're both Bozemanites. We've become good friends over the last couple of years. And, you know, when there's a good powder day to get out skiing, we head up to Bridger Bowl together. And in the summer, we do some golfing and even play some ping pong out in the garage. So we've become good friends. And when we're doing all this, we're always talking business and figuring out how to improve our e-commerce stores and our blogs. I think you're going to enjoy it. And before we get started, let's quickly thank grasshopper.com. If you have an online store and you need an 800 number to help build credibility and to help customers easily reach you from anywhere, I'd highly recommend their services. You can have this 800 number forwarded to any phone. So if you have a cell phone and you're out on the golf course, you can have it ring there or to anybody else that works for you. For a $75 off coupon, just head over to grasshopper.com/think entrepreneurship. All right, let's go ahead and get started with today's interview. Andrew, thanks so much for coming on today's show.
Yeah, Pete, thanks for having me. This will be fun.
It's great to be in person doing this interview. We're both from Bozeman, Montana, and both kind of in the internet marketing and e-commerce world. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself to start out? And then kind of a brief overview of the three different businesses that you're running today.
Sure. So I grew up in Idaho, not a real common place for a lot of, I think, e-commerce, internet marketing people to be out of. I grew up in Idaho Falls, came to Montana State University here in Bozeman for 4 years. I got a degree in finance and graduated, went to work for finance for a couple of years right out of school, again, in Montana, investment banking. And great experience, learned a lot, met some great people, was able to save some money, but ultimately it wasn't what I wanted to end up doing. It was a lot of work in terms of it didn't have much of a work-life balance and wanted to do something else. And so after a couple of years, ended up quitting and started my own drop shipping e-commerce business, Right Channel Radio, selling radio equipment. So did that for a couple of years, started a second business, trollingmotors.net. Again, another drop shipping business, selling, as you might guess, trolling motors. And did that for another couple of years. And then recently, the last probably year and a half, started ecommercefuel.com, where I blog about running my own businesses. I've got a podcast, and I also have a private community for e-commerce entrepreneurs and professionals. So so that's professionally what I do. You know, like you said, live in Bozeman here, beautiful Bozeman, awesome place to live. You know, have a wonderful wife and a young daughter, and it's a great life here in Montana. So
excellent. Well, why don't we start out by talking about your two e-commerce stores, Andrew? I know you have Right Channel Radios and trollingmotors.net, and that you started those after your short-term, you know, career in the finance industry. But how did you get that idea to start those e-commerce stores after, you know, not really having a whole lot of experience in that industry, especially? And then let's talk about the drop shipping model as well.
Sure. So when I got done with the job in finance, I was looking for some kind of business, some kind of opportunity that could be location independent. I could run it from anywhere in the world that didn't require a ton of capital, and then also was something that I could scale up relatively easily. So, you know, meaning that as I grew, it didn't necessitate me bringing on a ton of additional staff and buying more buildings, so something that could scale well. And I'd always been familiar with dropshipping, and we can get into that in a minute, but it was just a model that that I knew kind of met all of those criteria. And so I explored a few other options, but after some research, decided to go with dropshipping and just kind of dove headfirst in after, you know, 2 or 3 months being out of the finance world. So in terms of dropshipping is a business model, if your listeners aren't familiar with it, where instead of going out in the traditional e-commerce approach and buying a ton of inventory, housing it, stocking it, you actually partner with existing wholesale sellers to sell their inventory. And so it's a beautiful model because I don't actually have to purchase a product until I know I have an order from a customer. And once that order comes in, only then, once I've received their payment, do I turn around and buy that product from my wholesaler and then ship it directly to the end customer. So the benefits being, I don't have to buy a bunch of inventory up front. I don't have to run a warehouse. I don't have to have the risk of having all of that that inventory and managing it and dealing with it. And so it's a great business model for being able to get started quickly, being able to run a business from anywhere, because again, you can do it without having to have a warehouse. And it has some downsides too, which we can get into.
Sure.
Definitely has some downsides. But for starting out with e-commerce, it's definitely a great model to consider.
Now, you have the two e-commerce stores. And let's talk about, which one would you like to talk about here?
Let's talk about the radio business first. Sure.
Okay.
Right channel.
So, how is that going and how did you come up to pick that niche? Because is it that you're super passionate about CB radios and trucking, or is it something that you really did some keyword research for and found, hey, I can make some cash with this business?
Yeah, it's definitely not the passion-based trucking thing. When I started the business, my primary goal was to create a business, a viable business that was profitable and that could support me, because it was coming out of kind of a couple rough years in finance, and I wanted to be able to create some stability for myself. And I thought, hey, this might be the only chance I have. And so I took a very top-down approach to the niche selection. So when I was starting, I was looking for niches that there's a lot of criteria. I was looking at keyword volumes, how much people were searching for different niches. I was looking at the competition, how sophisticated the competition was at the time. I was looking at where I could really add value. And to be honest, it's a little tough, Pete, to say exactly why I picked it, because, 5 years into this, I've learned a ton of different things, and I've got all these lessons that have contributed to, if I was starting a business now, hey, here's the 20 criteria I would look at. At the time, I didn't know anything. I was totally green, starting from scratch. And so in total transparency, it's tough to really be able to remember how much I was looking at and how much I kind of retroactively think I was looking at. I did take that top-down approach to try to find a niche where I thought would have the best chance of success. It wasn't a passion-based play.
Okay. And when you were doing that initial research, there's a number of ways you can determine what keywords are working. There's Market Samurai. There's the free tools from Google. And I know that they actually recently changed that. I think it's is it the keyword planner that they're using now?
Yeah, the keyword tool's dead. Yeah.
So if you were somebody that's looking to pick a niche and start that e-commerce business, what tool would you use that you think would be most beneficial in, finding the right niche and finding if you can really sell what you would like to sell?
I think the keyword planner, even though the move from the keyword tool to the keyword planner, it really stripped out some functionality, which is disappointing. But it's still a great base tool for being able to gauge high level demand for niches. So that's probably would be the one I would go to first, even with the changes. There's definitely other tools out there, stuff like Word Tracker. They make great software for keyword research.
Mm-hmm.
SEO Moz has some really interesting, they don't have a keyword tool per se. They have some interesting functionality in their suite of software. But I think just the keyword planner is what I would go to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk a little bit about how these stores are doing in terms of revenue. Are you comfortable to share some of those numbers with us?
Yeah, definitely. And so in terms of the collective stores, those two stores, they're doing over $1 million in sales per year. And I think this year we'll probably even be pushing close to the 1.5 million mark. So, and it took probably, you know, it definitely took a while to scale up and to build to. I think it took, you know, 3 or 4 years to break that million mark, but that's where we're at right now.
And how are you getting all this traffic to these websites? Like, what's really working for you these days? Is it guest posting? Is it paid advertising? Or is it something else?
So almost all of the traffic that we get, the vast majority, 95% plus, is all organic free traffic. So it either comes from the search engines, it either comes directly from people who know us and just type our name in directly, or it comes from referral traffic from third-party websites. We really don't pay for hardly any of our traffic. And, you know, I was talking about dropshipping in terms of what's a downside to dropshipping. And one of the downsides is, you know, your margins are going to be smaller with dropshipping. You're selling a product that there's just not a whole lot of risk to get into. The barriers to entry are pretty low. And so because of that, you're going to have a lot of people jumping into the market, and there's going to be a lot of downward price pressure on the products that you're selling. And so that means two things. It means you have to be really strategic about how you market your business. If you try to sell on a low price guarantee, you're going to get killed with dropshipping. But in terms of traffic acquisition, it means you can't, It's not that you can't, but it's very difficult to pay for traffic. I'm doing some experiments right now with trolling motors on paid traffic, but it's hard. Just because with paid traffic, it usually you need to have margins in the 25% range or above. 25% range kind of is the, you know, a lot of times the entry level. It works a lot better if your margins are, you know, 50% or higher, and it's just tough to do with those lower margins. And so almost all the traffic we get is organic or referral direct traffic.
Okay. And with organic traffic, I mean, it might be a little bit less targeted, right? I'm just thinking conversions. Like, how is your conversion rate? How does that compare from organic traffic versus paid traffic?
You know, it depends. And again, we haven't done tons of paid traffic, and so I can't comment on that super well, but it's not too much different. I think with paid traffic, you might have a little bit higher of a conversion rate, just because you can focus more on those terms that are doing really well. So, for example, with let's say you've got a keyword that converts incredibly well with paid traffic, you can just ramp up your ad budget for that day, drive a lot more traffic to that landing page for that keyword or that product, and because you're focused on your really high performing keywords, your overall conversion rate will rise. You can do that with organic, but it takes a lot longer, right? Because you've got to go out and build links, you've got to optimize for specific keywords, and so, I think it varies a little bit, but you might see a little bit higher rate on paid traffic overall.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about shopping cart platforms. I have a e-commerce store myself called signsofthemountains.com.
Sure.
And I use a platform called BigCommerce. Now, I like BigCommerce because it makes it easy for anybody who doesn't know coding to get set up, to get started. And it's a pretty powerful platform, in my opinion. Now, I know there's a lot of other ones out there. I know Magenta, I think, is what you are using right now. And there's quite a few. I know one other one that's real popular among entrepreneurs just getting started out is Shopify. And I'm a big proponent of Shopify as well. I don't use it, but I know that it's pretty easy to customize, especially colors and that kind of thing. But could you kind of give us a breakdown of maybe those three platforms or one other one that you might recommend, and what you would go with if you were maybe starting out as an entrepreneur new to the e-commerce world?
Absolutely, yeah. So let's start out with the two hosted ones that you mentioned. So when I say hosted, I mean you sign up for the service and they take care of everything. They take care of the hosting, the servers. A shopping cart like Magento, like you said, is what's called a self-hosted cart. So you need to install that software on your own server, your own hosting platform, and then manage it that way. But Shopify and BigCommerce are a hosted platform. So between those two, those are probably the two leaders in hosted carts, I would say. You know, some might take argument with that, but in my opinion, those are kind of the two that are most well known, and they're both great carts, and they both have their strengths and advantages. I would say Shopify is probably a little bit more out in front in terms of marketing, in terms of a PR. They're definitely more kind of out in front in terms of design. And so if you're going to get started with an e-commerce business and simplicity is really important to you, a very clean interface, I would recommend Shopify. If a really high quality library of templates is important to you, something where you can get rolling right out of the gates without having to hire a designer to come in and make something look beautiful, Shopify is by far, far and away who you should go with. You can make big commerce look nice, but their stock themes are not nearly as polished as the Shopify themes. So for anything that aesthetics or simplicity is crucial, I'd say Shopify is the way to go. Now, BigCommerce, they tend to have a little bit more of a robust feature set built into the platform that comes with the product out of the gates. Shopify has a really great store or app environment where third-party developers can come in and create apps for Shopify. So you can extend Shopify in pretty much any way you would want to. The only downside to that is most of those apps are a subscription basis. So it's a $5 per month add-on or a $15 or a $20 or whatever it is for each one of those. BigCommerce has a little bit more functionality right out of the gates, especially as it relates to marketing, email marketing, abandonment, follow-up, things like that.
Okay.
So if you're a little more technically savvy and you don't necessarily want to pay monthly for some of those fees and you don't need something that's super aesthetic out of the gates, BigCommerce is who I would recommend. So those are the two hosted platforms. For a self-hosted platform, I actually use Magento, the service or the shopping cart you recommended, and they've gotten super popular the last probably 2, 3, 4 years. Very powerful platform, probably the most popular hosted platforms or self-hosted platforms. But the downside is it's a really complex system. It's hard to customize. It takes a fairly decent hosting platform to run it. If you try to go get a $5 Bluehost, $5 per month Bluehost platform and install Magento on there, it's just going to crawl. It's going to be painful. So you need to pay for some decent hosting. And it's complex. I wouldn't recommend it for new merchants. I migrated to it, and kind of in retrospect, I wish I hadn't. So one I would actually recommend instead is a cart called OpenCart. So same kind of thing, self-hosted. So you can control it. You can customize it completely on your own server. But it's much more lightweight, meaning it doesn't require as many resources. It's a lot easier to customize. And it's just a little bit cleaner and more simple of a cart for people just getting started.
When you say open cart, that sounds like it might be open source to me, as in free. But is that wrong?
No, it is. It is. Magento is free as well. So Magento is funny because they've got a bunch of tiers. They've got Magento Community Edition, which is free, totally free. Then they've got Magento Enterprise Edition, which costs anywhere from $15,000 to $50,000 per year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's spendy. But the basic version, the Community Edition, is free for Magento. So both of those are free and open source.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So both all those platforms we just talked about sound like, they would fit a certain kind of entrepreneur at a certain stage. And one thing I did want to touch on, because a lot of new entrepreneurs in the e-commerce field have these questions, and that's just what else do you have to get besides the shopping cart? As in, does this shopping cart typically come with an SSL certificate, which is a security measure? And then what about processing? With should you just look into going with a free program like PayPal, or should you look into integrating with a program like Authenticate.net or PayLeap, or there's a number of them, but kind of tell us just the basics about what you need to get started in actually selling online.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. If you're self-hosting with something like OpenCart or Magento, you definitely need an SSL certificate. I recommend. Oh, I completely forgot who I recommended.
They're a company we can get back to it.
we'll get back to them. Yeah. They're a company I've been using a lot. You definitely need an SSL certificate. And a lot of those you can use PayPal. So you can just set it up where people only pay through PayPal. But I'd highly recommend getting a merchant account like Authorize.net, which allows you to take credit cards directly on your site. Without the customer having to leave and go to PayPal. It just looks more professional. It inspires confidence, and it's definitely a good thing to do. So it's a professional thing to do, and you're probably going to see a little bit of a conversion boost from that. So if you're going with a cart like, if you're going with a cart like Shopify or BigCommerce, Those guys, if you go with BigCommerce, you're going to probably have to get a merchant account. Shopify actually just came out with their own merchant account, which is really nice because you can just, it's all integrated together. You sign up for Shopify and it's really easy to get out of the gates with their merchant account services. And so,
It's kind of an all-in-one package.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
That makes it easy.
It is. It's nice. Yeah. Shopify, if you want to get up and running quickly, Shopify, it's hard to beat Shopify. They're a good platform.
Excellent. Well, that was just a lot of great information you shared there about the e-commerce world. I know you're an expert in that industry and you're doing really well. So let's transition now and talk about one of your bigger focuses right now, because you have these e-commerce stores, they're doing great, but it's been a great way to be able to kind of segment and share what you've learned from running those two businesses into kind of starting a platform where you help others start their own online businesses. And what is that called and what are you doing over there?
Yeah, so that business and that blog is called ecommercefuel.com, and been writing over there for about a year and a half. And really for the first year, didn't do a whole lot else but really just blog about e-commerce, about my experience, how things went, my stores, my successes, and my faceplant failures. So it's been a lot of fun. So really just trying to be transparent about what works, what doesn't work, and what you need to do if you really want to be serious about starting your own e-commerce business. So lots of case studies from my own stores, from trollingmotors.net to Right Channel Radios, and kind of especially focused on independent, smaller e-commerce entrepreneurs. So I'd say over the last year have slowly transitioned into not just providing high-quality free information, which is something I always want to do, but also being able to offer some higher-quality premium training materials. So I've got something called the Insider's Guide, where it's a premium paid course that walks people through the entire step, soup to nuts of building an e-commerce store, all the way from incorporating to niche selection to launching the store to marketing and optimization. And it actually uses my two stores as examples of how to do that. So that's one thing I'm doing over there. Also do a podcast called the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, where get on weekly and interview successful e-commerce entrepreneurs and thought leaders in the e-commerce space, which has been a lot of fun. And then also have a private community for established e-commerce entrepreneurs. So people who maybe have already been doing this for a while, they've got a store up and running, or maybe they're, kind of like you, Pete, in the e-commerce space and have a store up and running and want to network with other people who are really making stuff happen in the online world with e-commerce. So we've been doing that for a while as well. So just got a bunch of different stuff over there, and it's been a ton of fun being able to teach about it. I love teaching.
Mm-hmm. I can tell.
Yeah, I love talking about this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's really fun. And it's just been a great way to share my experience with others. So
wow. Well, I've put your podcast on my iPhone, and it's something I listen to when I go out for my runs. And I learned so much that I can then take and actually just go apply right away to my business. So definitely, if you're looking for other podcasts to listen to, and I mean, if you're looking to get into e-commerce, I'd highly recommend checking out his podcast. It's he's got some great interviewees, and he's really helping a lot of people all around. So how's that podcast doing? Because it's kind of interesting. I started a podcast. This podcast, but I started it probably a couple months before you did. And, I'm seeing good stats, definitely a downfall initially off of that first eight weeks that you're doing a podcast. But it's certainly brought a lot of traffic and really generated just publicity and kind of credibility for myself and for the website. But how has yours done, and, how is it helping your business?
It's been great out of the gates. Like you said, that 8 weeks, I think we're coming up right up to that. And so the 8 weeks is the first 8 weeks here in iTunes, you get kind of this special treatment, right?
And you're right, the new and noteworthy section.
The new and the noteworthy. And so it gives you a little bit of a boost. And so I think we're getting ready to just probably fall off of that. So I'll probably have an awakening here in a couple of weeks.
You will.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's been a lot of fun, and the launch went pretty well. In terms of downloads, I know you're curious about downloads. Averaging, about 1,500 downloads per episode, and then after I think our first couple episodes are right around the 3,000 mark for total downloads, and so been getting some traction and getting some decent listings in iTunes. In terms of how it affects the business, I think podcasting is a little harder to to measure in terms of the tangible benefits it gives your business. You know, like with organic traffic or paid traffic, you log into Google Analytics,
right?
You know, you can see exactly what traffic is going where and who buys what, and that's harder to do with a podcast.
It because, is hard.
You know, you've got it's all a lot of it is going to be either people who come and you're strengthening that relationship because you know you're hopefully adding right. value and helping them every week. And also people who just hear you and then directly come to your site with direct traffic. And so it's harder to quantify, but I think, you know, I've been getting, you definitely hear from people who say, you know, been listening to the podcast, it's been going, you know, getting a lot of great information out of it. Thank you. Definitely had a handful of interviews from people who heard about me from the podcast. And so it definitely helps out, but it's, I think it's one of those softer metrics that pays off big time in the long term, but you know, you're not necessarily going to be able to put together a report in the first couple months and say, this is how many sales we made because of it.
Certainly. Yeah. But I do like it because, I mean, you are one-on-one with the listener in their earbuds for 30 to 40 minutes, whether they're out on their run, on their commute to work, walking their dog, wherever they are. It's just a great way to communicate and to build that relationship that ultimately builds trust. And then, I mean, heck, it's generated, you know, sales, I'm sure, for a lot of different companies that just because they trust them, they want to go with them in whatever they're selling.
Yeah, it's funny. There aren't that many e-commerce stores that use a podcast.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's something that hopefully we'll see in the next couple of years. And you know, next business I start, I want to have something that lends itself towards that medium because I think about people that I've connected with online and I respect and I've gotten to feel like I trust, and almost all of them are people I listen to their podcast, you know, so it's really powerful.
Well, you know, and you and I both have a mutual friend, Dustin Rising. He owns a company called Bibs and Binkies, and he's thinking about doing a podcast, but not necessarily just about, so Bibs and Binkies is a retail store, a local retail store, but not necessarily just about, you know, strollers and products they sell, but kind of more about stories, about how moms are dealing with kids and kind of to bring a different perspective so that then they get to know the owners and then they trust them. And then ultimately that may lead to some sales on their website. Now, do you think that's kind of a good idea so that, I mean, you could even, as a local business, have some benefits and see some benefits from starting your own podcast?
I like the approach a lot. I think telling stories with podcasting is really important. I got some, you know, I heard some good advice from somebody who's done podcasting for a while, and they said, you know, your number one goal with podcasting is really, you know, maybe this sounds shallow, but it's really to entertain your listener, you know, that's what you want to try to do. There's a place for tactics. And I think you can, that doesn't mean you have to leave out tactics or things that are really important. But above all, you don't want to bore people with podcasting. And so I think that's a great approach. I don't know for a local approach. So that's interesting because you've got to have, think about it. It's difficult. You know, it's a large enough challenge to grow a podcast when you have a national audience, right?
Right.
You know, think about something like Bozeman, Montana, where you've got, you know, what 40, 50,000 people, you know, the booming metropolis of Bozeman.
Right.
You got to get a lot of market penetration in there to make that worthwhile for the effort you're putting into it. And so,
right. It might not make that much of a benefit, say, if they just had this local store, but if they have that e-commerce side of things, that's where it's going to see some benefit.
I think so. Yeah. If you had an e-commerce platform that was nationally available, then, that's much more viable.
Okay. And that's kind of what I meant. I just didn't explain it very well. So, well, let's talk about failure now, Andrew, because as entrepreneurs, we all go through our ups and downs. And we have good things and bad things that happen each and every day. But is there a specific failure that stands out along your journey that you'd like to talk about?
Oh, yeah. I've, you know, which one of 25 right. do you want me to pick from here?
Yeah, I know it.
I'd say probably the one that stands out the most is when I launched my second business, trollingmotors.net. That was the one I did, you know, as a follow-up. And the first business I launched, Right Channel Radios, I did everything myself, was bootstrapping it, you know, did the website design, talked to the customers, did customer service for the first 6 to 12 months, you know, did all the marketing, everything I did myself. And the business, you know, got a decent amount of traction in the first, you know, 6 to 12 months, and was, you know, I was pretty happy with how things turned out, especially in that early period. So with the second business, Trolling Motors, I had some cash flow coming in. And I thought, hey, you know, man, that was a lot of work the first time. Had to do all of this writing and SEO and marketing and talking with customers. I'm just going to pay people, use this cash flow from my first business to scale up the second business. And so so I went out and I paid, you know, probably $5,000 right out of the gates to have a super beautifully designed store built before I knew really anything about the trolling motor niche. I'd selected it, but I didn't know a whole lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then right on the heels of that, I went out and contracted with an SEO firm and paid, you know, a fairly hefty sum. I think it was $10,000 for a 6-month SEO contract.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a decent chunk of change. And so, did that, and I figured, hey, I'm going to let someone else grow the business. And it worked. It worked okay for a while. You know, saw some great results on the SEO front in terms of how quickly the rankings and the traffic grew initially. And the website, it did look, you know, it looked nice. It had a lot of eye candy. But a couple big things happened that made me realize that it was a pretty poor approach to take for the business. The first one was that we started wanting to update the website to make it better. We realized over time that the website we had created didn't address a lot of the questions and problems that our customers had. But the deal is, we paid to have this beautiful, intricate website design on a complex platform, Magento. And we didn't know how to change it without having to pay a developer like $150, $200 an hour,
yeah.
You know? And so, because these were, you know, we hired some guys that knew what they were doing in the States. And so that became a big issue. The second issue that was more problematic was after about a year, year and a half in business, we got just destroyed by the Penguin update with Google.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but it was an algorithm update by Google that came in and really cracked down on some SEO practices that, you know, a lot of over-optimized linking practices. I'll just leave it at that. And, you know, some of the SEO that firm had done really just, you know, was a little bit shady. And mm-hmm. I don't blame them. I mean, I did a poor job of managing them and kind of, you know, watching that process. And so ultimately it was my fault, but it was really painful because we lost 80% of our traffic. And so we were sitting at a point where, man, I've got a website that really doesn't do what it needs to do. And it's going to be really expensive, or at least time intensive, to rebuild it. 80% of our organic traffic is just, you know, gone. So what do you do? Do you just kind of throw it on the trash heap and write it off to a learning experience, or do you go ahead and try to revamp things? And we chose to revamp things, and so ended up creating a website that was much like my first one, much more basic, much more focused on the user. It wasn't super flashy. It was something we could change relatively easily. And then also for the SEO, really tried to focus more on cleaning up that backlink profile, doing some new marketing that was a little bit, that was much more white hat. And we still haven't got completely out of that. We're still seeing some negative effects from that. But that, I'd say that was, definitely, I'm kind of going on 5-minute mark here, but that was definitely probably the biggest mistake I made. And the big takeaway for me was, you can't expect somebody to start your business. You've really got to be the man in the trenches or the woman in the trenches, validating the idea, doing the initial marketing, figuring out what it is your customers want. And then once you understand exactly what's going on or have a firm grasp of it,
mm-hmm.
that's the time to really systemize the business, to bring more people on board, to hand that off to other folks. And that's a good transition point for kind of letting go of the reins a little bit. But you need to do the heavy lifting, especially the marketing.
Right.
Especially the marketing early on yourself.
I like how you just talked about systemizing. We talked about that in Brian Scudamore's interview, the CEO and founder of 1-800-JUNK. And he really just explains how important it is to systemize and to automate processes. So if you have, so everything in your business, you should be essentially documenting and writing down the steps so that if you hired somebody, they could just take it over right away and you could work on some of the more strategic parts in your business. So I'm glad you talked about that. Now, as an entrepreneur with 3 different businesses, I'm curious how you're able to, you know, stay focused and I guess get everything done that needs to be done in a day. I don't know how you're going to answer that question, but I'm looking forward to the answer.
No, it can be tough. I think one of I think there's 2 ways that I try to tackle that. The first one is to really focus. I try to focus on one big task at a time. So when I started Right Channel, it was the only thing I was doing. When I started Trolling Motors, even though I botched, you know, parts of it, at that point I had brought somebody in to help with a lot of the day-to-day tasks for Right Channel Radios. And so I was freed up to be able to focus on that. with e-commerce fuel, when I started that, I had a full-time guy in the States who was helping me as my sales manager manage the day-to-day operations. And so for the most part, I had to spend a couple hours on it a week, but I was largely able to focus exclusively on building up e-commerce fuel. And even now, I'm focusing on certain aspects within e-commerce fuel. Back in June, I was focused. Excuse me.
It's not even winter yet, and you have a cold.
I know. Everyone move up to Bozeman. It's September, and it's, 45 degrees outside.
I know. It's snow on the forecast for tomorrow night.
But even back in June, was focusing on one aspect of the business for a month at a time. Now I'm focusing on a different one. So I think that's one aspect that helps a lot, is not trying to do everything every day. And then a second aspect is bringing good people on board, is systemizing. And bringing on somebody who could take care of the day-to-day, someone that I trusted that was competent, was a huge step for me and able to free up my time. Systemizing, you talk about SOPs. We have a lot of SOPs at our business for day-to-day recurring tasks that go on. And I'm not perfect about it. There's still a lot of stuff that I probably do on a weekly basis that I say, man, I really should not be doing this. This is something I really need to get outsourced or documented. But, every week at least, I'm probably putting together one or two SOPs to help offload some of those things. And so I think it's a combination of those two things. But it's a challenge.
Excellent. Well, we talked about this a little bit before the interview too, but that's just how kind of persistence will pay off over time. A couple good books I'd highly recommend, The Slight Edge as well as Compound Effect, both very similar books. But they just talk about, over time, how good habits or things that you repeat every single day will eventually help you accomplish so much. And they're not necessarily hard habits to do, but you just need to continually do them and be committed to it. So tell us about how persistence has kind of helped paid off for your businesses.
Oh, I think it's probably, 90% of why I've been successful. I'm not a necessarily, brilliant guy or really insightful guy or someone who's coming up with groundbreaking, ideas. I'm just someone who's, I think one of my strengths is being able to execute consistently over time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great, I think it's a quote by C.S. Lewis, who not really is known for being a business guy. He's more of a theologian, but, he said, it's funny how day to day, everything appears the same, but when you look back, so much has changed. And that's the gist of the quote, at least. And it's really true. It's that persistence over time. And so, with my businesses, probably each business has taken at least a couple years to really get to the point where you feel established and like, okay, this is actually a really worthwhile thing to be doing. Right Channel took at least a year to build to the point where I was supporting myself. It took another year for me to feel like, okay, wow, this is actually, getting some real stability and real value as a business. Same with Trolling Motors on it. Same with e-commerce fuel. For e-commerce fuel for the first year, I didn't try to make any money. I mean, I had one or two, maybe very small things where I made a little bit of money, but my focus 98% was on delivering high quality content, building an audience, and helping people with valuable information for that first year. The second year we're in business, it will definitely turn a profit, a healthy profit. But all of that was made possible by the long-term vision that I had for that first year. And so I think persistence in a long-term perspective is just, it's just mandatory. It's what you have to have just as kind of the price of admission if you want to be serious about building a long-term business online. And I think that's what's a common denominator you see with a lot of successful people.
Mm-hmm. Do you have, or how important has it been for you to take risks as an entrepreneur?
It's been important, but I think what's more important than taking risks is taking the right kind of risks. I think there's this fallacy that entrepreneurs go out and they mortgage everything that they own and take on $150,000 in debt and start their business. And, you definitely hear stories about that panning out.
Certainly do, yep. But I'm sure you don't hear about all the ones that didn't pan out.
You hear the 10% of stories like that work. You don't hear the 9 out of 10 probably that end in just utter heartbreak,
mm-hmm.
And indebtedness for the next 20 years. And it's just awful. And so I think our society in general glorifies risk-taking, especially as the entrepreneur. And so I think it's a lot more important to focus on taking the right kind of risks. Take risks that are hard to do, but don't necessarily have catastrophic consequences if you fail. So I think that that's the thing to focus on most. And I think in terms of risk-taking, I think being really financially smart and conservative with your personal finances is something that allows you to take risks professionally that a lot of people can't. You know, it's amazing how many entrepreneurs I talk to that are doing well that are very conservatively financially conservative. You know, they may like nice things, they may enjoy spending money, but at least in those early days, they looked at money not as something to acquire possessions, but as something that they could put in the bank that gave them flexibility and options, especially options in terms of time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this $40,000, I can either go out and, you know, spend $40,000 over 3 years and buy myself a spanking brand new truck, or I can drive a beater, work my day job, take that 40K, put it in the bank, and quit my job. So, man, I've got, you know, 2 or 3 years to scale up a business. Because, again, it takes a while, like I was mentioning, right? And so that's something that I see that, you know, being really prudent with your personal finances allows you to take so much more, risk as an entrepreneur because you've got the time and runway to be able to do it.
That's so important, too. And I talked with Deacon Hayes in one of the earlier episodes about his, or just about finances in general. He has a whole blog called The Well-Kept Wallet and just does an amazing job helping people in getting out of debt and that kind of thing. But I just think it's like you said, important to have those under control.
I mean, you look at, I think it's the idea of a millionaire with yachts and boats and things and, you know, private jets it's what's perpetuated. But I think more often than not, I mean, have you heard of the book, The Millionaire Next Door?
Yeah, I have. I haven't read that one, actually.
Great book. And the premise of it is the majority of millionaires are not these people that are, you know, opulent and out buying all these things. They're people who live a fairly average lifestyle and just have banked away insane amounts of wealth over time. The majority of them are business owners, but they're not opulent business owners.
So just a little consistency every day in saving.
Yeah, that helps a lot. So,
now, is there a favorite resource that you would recommend to other entrepreneurs in terms of helping with automating your business?
With automating your business, there's a couple books. Work the System by Sam Carpenter is a book on systemization and processes. The E-Myth Revisited is another. Those are probably the two staples on systemization. And so you read those two, and you'll get a pretty great primer on how to scale a business with systems. So that's what I'd recommend in terms of systems.
Excellent. And let's just talk about the scheduling program you use, because we were talking about that a little bit earlier, but I know that it would help a lot of the listeners out there. So why don't you just talk about it?
Yeah. So I'm sure everybody has been in the situation where, you know, you reach out to somebody, hey, let's get together. And they say, well, one works for you. And you say, oh, I can do these 3 dates. They say, well, I can't do any of those. What about this date? And it goes back and forth. It's a huge pain. And so, especially if you're making a lot of appointments, a program called ScheduleOnce.com is fantastic. It ties into your Google Calendar or any calendar program that you're using. I'm sure it works with Exchange, things like that. And you can set when you're available, and then it will automatically sync up your availability dates with your, you know, live calendar. And when you email people, you can just include a link and says, hey, schedule an appointment with me here. They click that link. They can pick an available time. It auto books it, puts it in both your calendars, and it saves so much back and forth. Awesome program.
Well, I use it too. And just so you know, we don't have any affiliation with this company, but we both use their services, and it just saves me so much time. I love it.
We're secretly 10% shareholders.
Yeah. before we take off, because we're reaching our 40 or so minute mark here, but you know, for our listeners out there to take some action, what is one piece of actionable advice that you'd recommend somebody out there who's looking at starting a business or who's looking to continue to grow their business? What would you recommend them doing?
I'm going to give three, if that's okay.
Go right ahead.
First one is, if you want to start a business and you're not sacrificing your lifestyle to try to build up a business fund, that's step number one. If you can't do that, you're going to have a really hard time, I think.
What do you mean by sacrificing your lifestyle?
Well, making some kind of sacrifice in your life to be able to set aside a fund that you can either use to start up a business, to fund a business, or to quit your job or go part-time to be able to invest your own sweat equity into a business. Because it's just, again, I think that's just so important for getting something off the ground. And if you're not willing to, if you're not willing to not have a brand new leased car and drive something that's, 6 or 7 years old for your business dreams, you're not going to be willing to put in what it takes to build a business. And that maybe sound callous, but I think it's true. So that'd be one thing I would say. The second thing is try to learn as much as possible. Successful entrepreneurs that I know, they're constantly learning. They're constantly reading, business books. They're staying up to date on trends within their industry online and news and blogs. So you need to be a voracious reader and someone who's really trying to stay up to date and learning as much as you can about what it is that you want to do and the people that have kind of gone where you want to go, studying what they do. And then the third one I would say is really try to dive in before you're ready. This is kind of cliche, and I think it's probably said a lot, but one of the big mistakes I made with my trolling motor site was it took me probably 2 to 3 times as long to get it up and running. It was a lot prettier and it was a lot, more official looking,
right,
nice website, but it didn't do nearly as well. And it took me longer to really get a sense for the market, as opposed to my first business where I had to get a website, got it up and running, mm-hmm, made a lot of mistakes, but I was actually doing something.
It's out there right away.
Yeah, it's out there right away, and you can iterate and learn from it much more quickly. So those would be the three things that I would recommend.
Great advice. That kind of makes me think of Richard Branson's quote as well, but it's, screw it, let's do it.
Good advice.
Get it out there. Now, before we take off, why don't you share with us how we can learn more about yourself and your businesses, Andrew?
Yeah, so the podcast, again, that you mentioned, E-Commerce Fuel podcast. You can just search for E-Commerce Fuel on iTunes. That's one way to connect with me or learn more about me. E-commercefuel.com, of course. If you're thinking about getting started with an e-commerce business, go get my ebook. It's ecommercefuel.com/ebook. And that's just a 55-page primer on picking an e-commerce niche, especially drop shipping. So it's spent a lot of time on it. If you take the time to go read it and you think it's not worth the time you invested, email me at andrew@ecommercefuel.com and I'll send you $20 by PayPal. I put a lot of time into it, so I feel pretty confident that it'll be worthwhile. RightChannelRadios.com and TrollingMotors.net. Those are the two sites that I run that you can check out to get kind of a sense for what I do. So
excellent. Well, I will make sure to put all of that in the show notes then, Andrew. And thank you so much for taking the time to do this interview. It was fun to actually be in person at the Think Entrepreneurship Studio, as we
global call headquarters.
It. That's right, in Bozeman, Montana. But I'm looking forward to just continuing to network with you and to sharing just all of this great advice that people like you have with the listeners here on the Think Entrepreneurship podcast. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, Pete, thanks so much for having me on. It's been fun talking.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode with Andrew Udarian. For complete show notes, head over to thinkentrepreneurship.com/episode26. And if you have a couple minutes, head over to iTunes as well and leave a quick review or rating for the Think Entrepreneurship podcast. All of that feedback just goes to help continue to improve this podcast so that each one is better than the last. And before we leave, thank you to grasshopper.com. If you need an 800 number for your small business to help build credibility and to make it easier for your customers to reach you, and that also forwards to any phone, including your cell phone, whether you are on a trip at the golf course or just out with friends, check that out. You can get a free $75 off coupon if you just head over to grasshopper.com/thinkentrepreneurship. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in. Best of luck with your businesses, and cheers from Bozeman, Montana.
Thanks for listening to the Think Entrepreneurship Podcast with Pete Sven, your source for entrepreneur interviews that motivate and inspire. Join us next time for more exciting stories from entrepreneurs, and remember to go for it and follow your passion.